From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, Jake, I'm in hog molly heaven. Is Brandon Thorne, who's a big offensive line guy, loves talking about trench warfare. He's actually of the trench warfare website. He has Wyatt Teller ranked as the fifth best right guard in the NFL behind Chris Lindstrom of Atlanta and Sam Cosmi of Washington. I will ask you this there, Jake. Wyatt Teller is a top blank right guard in the game currently.
So I feel like I have to weigh in injury concerns and everything else. Like, healthy, I don't think that's a terrible spot for him. But if you take into account injuries and how often he's actually on the field, like 12, I think.
Right guard?
Right guard specifically? No, higher than 12. Oh. I was talking offensive guard in general. Right
Gave
guard.
Me the vapors.
No. Yeah, you're probably like talking like top 5 to 6.
All right. So I very much respect Brandon. My thing is, Wyatt Teller was an incredible guard last year while not healthy early in the season and playing outside of a system that he had his most success in with an offensive line coach who apparently just got ghosted at some point in the season. Joe Bitonio wasn't good last year because of that. Ethan Posick, plus injuries, wasn't good for that last year. Jack Conklin actually was pretty, but everybody struggled but Wyatt. Like, Wyatt had a top five season with all that going on. Chris Lindstrom's a very nice guard. Sam Cosmi's a very nice young guard. They're not Wyatt Teller. And he is right up there with Quentin Nelson. So the lowest I'll accept is top three, right? If you factor everything in, because those guys, the other thing is, those guys had more team success than Wyatt had, and I think that's holding him back too.
Yeah, I think that does put a pretty big damper on things. Also, the only reason that Jack Conklin actually succeeded in the offense last year was because he was a suitable pass blocker. Like, and that's
and
what everything.
He's Jack Bleep and Conklin. Well, put no, a little respect on that name.
He's good, but the run game out of that system was non-existent.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I don't want to remember it. Omaha! Barstool Sports announcing a partnership today. Alongside of Fox Sports, we had news on this earlier on yesterday that it was probably going to happen. It's now official. Dave Portnoy probably going to be somewhere involved in Big Noon Kickoff. Barstool going to be getting a show on Fox Sports from 8 to 10. Is this a good thing that Fox Sports is heading this way and also let go like of almost every talent they had? Or is this a sideways move or something that probably sets them back?
So I think it's difficult for a lot of people to divorce their feelings on how the Barstool guys say things or the content they produce and what this actually means. I don't take in a lot of Barstool content, although Ohio State and Jeff Lowe are two of our guys, so I really make sure to pay attention to theirs. What I look at is I'm looking at what Fox Sports is trying to do counter to ESPN, and they've tried to copy ESPN too much. Well, Dave Portnoy, I can understand people thinking, well, that's their McAfee. No, they get a lot of eyes. They're not going to get it's different kind of attentions. Even 8 to 10 on a morning show, a Barstool-produced morning show is going to be wildly different than Get Up, and that's good. That means you're going to have options. And here's the other thing. Barstool is one of the companies right now in the sports media landscape that is making headway and making a lot of positive deals for itself. As somebody who works in sports media and watches how the landscape continues to be just absolutely ravaged by a lot of different factors, I do think this is a positive thing for the business. So, yeah, I mean, take away what you think about them personally. I think it's great for Fox and Barstool as long as everybody understands what this all entails.
Yeah, I think that the reason that I like it so much, and you don't have to agree with everything that Barstool does. I don't either, but like, the way that they present sports content, I think, is a lot more palatable to the average viewer, which is probably a lot of what you're losing right now if you're ESPN, because everybody talks like, I mean, you basically talk about the same three things and everybody in every show just reiterates the exact same thing. Yeah, when you take a little bit of a looser approach and you realize that, hey, they're just not taking it all that serious like other shows do, I think that you get a fun, different spin on things that actually works and is different from the norm that has been played out and is kind of boring and dead at this point.
And I think when ESPN tried to do this, we all knew that was going to be DOA. They don't fit into ESPN's corporate culture. I do think Fox Sports and Fox Sports One have done a better job of kind of broadening what is their culture, sometimes for the worse. But I do think, like, I don't think they're going to be all that uptight about some of the things that Barstool is going to want to do. And that's kind of, if you're going to play, you're going to play that game, you better be willing to do the other stuff that comes with it that gets you criticism.
Omaha!
Coldplay has a crowd cam during their concert. This happened last night at their show in Boston. They panned to who turns out to be a well-known CEO and his PR chief canoodling. Well, they happen to both be married to other people. The video has gone viral. Apparently, the guy's wife, so the guy's the CEO, his wife has already excommunicated him on social media, meaning she's removed his name from her profile. Is this the dumbest way to potentially get caught cheating?
Yeah, I mean, how dumb do you have to be? You know there's a camera. I mean, you go to a sporting event, I think you'd be aware, there's a low chance I get on camera, but there's always a chance. Like, you should probably make sure, especially when you're a high-profile person, people can't see you.
I just feel so bad for the spouses and the family of the spouses, like, if they have kids or whatnot, because it's like, there's just no escaping this. Marriages breaking up is tough enough, especially when it's like a workplace one. It's those things are tough enough. Now it's a viral video. This is like the most public humiliation of like an affair situation that I can think of since like Bezos and Mackenzie Scott got half that dude's ducats. And we all were like, you get it. You donate half his money out of spite. So I feel so bad for them. And I don't know, man. If you're gonna step out, like, can you be more clever about it? Can you be committed to the game that you're trying to play here, and maybe think of other people besides I just want to canoodle with the PR chief? I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like a very. Not that there's any good way to have an affair, but there feels like a very 1990s way to have an affair instead of a 2025 way where you're like,
so it's a 1990s way to have an affair in 2025.
Exactly.
Which is another thing that if you're a CEO, you should probably just know better than.
Yeah, you feel like you've moved far enough in the food chain to probably escape that, but I guess not. Not everybody can be that smart.
Social media comes for us all.
Scottie Scheffler ahead of the Open Championships going on right now across the pond. Speaking out in a little bit of a different light than we typically hear athletes speak out, especially those at the top of their game.
Is it great to be able to win tournaments and to accomplish the things I have in the game of golf? Yet it brings tears to my eyes just to think about. But at the end of the day, I'm not out here to inspire the next generation of golfers. I'm not here to inspire somebody else to be the best player in the world, because what's the point? This is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from a sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of like the deepest places of your heart. You know, there's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life. And then you get there and all of a sudden you get to number one in the world. And then they're like, what's the point? That's something that I wrestle with on a daily basis.
Does this feel something that is widespread across golf for you, or is this like Scottie Scheffler individual?
I think it's the most relatable thing I've ever heard a golfer say.
You go through in an individual sport, and like the turnaround in golf is so quick, I think it's hard to escape. Like, he talks about, oh, well, you basically get to celebrate for 2 minutes. I mean, it feels that way, and in reality, it is, 2 days, 3 days max, and then you're on to a next tournament. Like, these guys play 40 tournaments up to this point so far in the season. And it's always, hey, congrats, you won one. You're going to win the next one? You're going to do this one? You're going to basically take over and be... And, I mean, he's one of the most dominant we've gotten to.
So something I always think about with, like, a guy like LeBron. Like, yeah, LeBron's a billionaire. LeBron's probably going to own an NBA team. He's the face of a league. He's a global empire. Too big to fail, really. Like, he's... And by the way, once he retires, this is going to go through a different phase of financial success. But I also wonder, like, is that level of success worth, is the trappings of that level of success worth the success? And I think everyone out there, because I saw people criticizing him, and I thought it was inhumane the way they talked about him. Because I think it's as a parent, as somebody in, a marriage of almost 20 years, like, there are times where, like, this is my dream job. I don't want to work in New York City. I don't want to work in LA. I don't want to, like, I wanted to be a drive time host in Cleveland. And I got to do the night show at 30. I got this show, I think, at 36. I don't know, time's a flat circle. And so this is everything I've wanted, I got before I was, 40. And yet there are trade-offs that I make to do this, specifically with family time at night with my girls. And there are times where that success doesn't feel like success. And by the way, I'm quite happy to do this, right? It has allowed me to afford a better life for my kids and my wife and for me. And we've made such great headways as a family together. Yeah, there are days where I sit here and I know my kids and my wife are at home just yucking it up. And it is something that's tough to deal with sometimes. Every human being, everybody out there has that. If you're a parent, barely making ends meet, working three jobs to put your kid, to make sure your kid just has a roof over their head, you feel that. If you're a billionaire CEO, that might be I think sometimes wealth can disconnect you from each other. That's something you think about. I just, like, honestly, I've never heard an athlete, I've not never, very rarely have ever heard an athlete talk with that kind of vulnerability and openness. And I, more of that. I was never in on Scottie Scheffler. I think he's kind of a product of watered down golf because of the two leagues. I'm in on Scottie Scheffler. This was incredibly human. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, I think that, especially hearing it come from, again, the top of the top is such a big thing, and not it being, no name Joe over there, like, I'm pouring my life into this and it's not working. Like, yeah, that still hits. But even Scotty being like, yeah, I found the success, I have the success, and here's what we have to show for it.
John Breach of CBS Sports talks where he has the Browns going into the season, the quarterback room, Deshaun Watson's talent, and the rest of the NFL. Storylines in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.